off, John. God, that was like a really good hit. Hey, I'm Axel.
I'm John.
Welcome to the bakery. With us, of course, is Frankie, our producer. Welcome to the bakery,
Thank
as always.
Thank you, guys.
How you doing, Frankie?
Not too shabby. Appreciate it.
Nice.
No,
nice.
As some of our fans might know, we always do our smoke intro. And we're trying to time it, like, find the perfect timing. But I was, like, having, like, a wonderful hit just then. And fucking John had to go and stomp all over it by just like, oh, cough, when like I wasn't ready to cough.
It's called showmanship.
Yeah.
He wants you to fake a tough hit, man.
Anyways.
I wish I could have obliged, but like that hit was really good because have you ever noticed that? Like it burns correctly. Like some hits you put the fire to it and it just doesn't burn all the way and like you get like a shitty kind of like, the thought about burning.
I believe that has a lot to do with the way that the bowl is packed.
Yeah.
Ground bowls. I don't know if I've said this on air, but I strategically pack my bowls depending on the environment in which I am smoking them, whether it's a big crowd or just myself.
Yeah.
If it's a big crowd, I'll pack large nugs, so that way it burns longer and it can make its way around the crowd. But when I'm by myself...
Yeah. When you're by yourself.
When I'm by myself, I will pack myself with the ground bud. So that way I get a nice even burn.
See, if I'm like in a group situation and it's like a smokeout situation, I do the snap method. Like, say I'm hanging out with John, hanging out with Frankie, hanging out with Chris or something. If everyone's going to smoke out, I don't want to pack this bowl and pass it around because, first of all, it's not going to last that long. Like, between the smokers we hang out with, it's just going to get sucked up. But one hit, it just kind of like, I don't know, it just gives that person that personal tension. And you actually don't use as much weed as I think you do. Because if you're packing bowls for everyone, think about it. Like, they're all having to get like one or two hits each. So that's like two bowls right there versus a little.
I had a buddy for his birthday. He bought, I want to say, maybe a quad.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what that is out there, it's a 2/8 added up, quad. Duh. But no, I think he bought a quad, and he rolled everybody in the room J's. It was probably like 8 of us in the room,
yeah.
And he rolled each of us a J for his birthday.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cool.
That is kind of a cool thing. It's like a communal thing. I know sometimes, like, it's basically when you first pick up, that's when that happens.
Yeah, for sure. Because you got bud to waste.
Yeah, like, when you first pick up, it's like the time of plenty. And you're just like, yeah, man, I'll have this forever. Like, yeah, have some. You have some. I don't know you. Take some, of course.
Have you ever gotten the shitty bud? And you know it's shitty?
All the time.
Yeah, I do that, or I've had that happen to me a few times. And what I usually end up doing is going to a party and smoking everybody out and becoming the life of the party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get rid of this bud. You want to smoke, bud? We are made.
Actually, the best time I ever got smoked out was when I had, like, the worst weed I ever, like, bought. And, like, I'm telling you, officially in my mind, the worst I ever had.
Wait, say that again? The only time you were smoked out?
Maybe I didn't word it right.
Okay.
Might be because I just smoked. But the worst weed I ever got, I would go up to people and say, my weed is awful. It's gross. I'll smoke you out with it, but it's gross. And they would usually go, oh, that's cool, and they'll smoke me out with their stash instead. So by using the worst weed I ever had, I actually got more different strains of weeds than I ever had before.
Did you end up using your weed, or would they just smoke you out with theirs?
I mean, eventually I would use it by myself, but since I marketed it as really bad weed to those people, I was like, oh, man, this weed's bad. They would not touch it, and they just smoked me out instead.
Did you – okay. I read this in an article the other day. It was it's about a scientist at McGill University in Canada and what he's attempting to do.
Uh-huh.
He's attempting to reverse engineer a dinosaur from a chicken.
I thought you were going to say fossil. I was
no.
Like, Jurassic Park.
No. This is much more weird.
Yeah.
How's
that going to work? How does that – what do you mean?
Well – it's going to work by altering chicken genes that have evolved since the Cretaceous period.
Okay.
Now, the odd thing about this is that they say the chicken skeleton pretty much makes it a dinosaur by classification anyways.
I've heard that, actually. Like, somehow they're connected.
Yeah. There's a hole in its hip socket, and there's just other minor anatomical features.
That make it similar to a dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly. They just classify it in that same category.
From the Cretaceous period.
Yes. And so he's going to be doing that, and that's...
Well, what color do you think a dinosaur would be, like, in real life? Because we saw the Jurassic Park look like dinosaurs, but that was Hollywood's version of dinosaur. So what do you think they actually would look like? Because I was reading an article about Cretaceous period creatures and what they could have really looked like, and they found something in the fossil, like some pigment that they found out was a pigment. It was melanin. It was some type of color-producing agent, so they knew they were colorful. They just don't know what color. But they said that basically dinosaurs could look more like parrots than, the brown and green things you imagine in Jurassic Park.
Well, so instead of Jurassic Park 1 and 2, imagine Jurassic Park 3, where they had all those colorful white striped dinosaurs and all that shit.
I've only seen Jurassic Park bits and pieces of 3.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's not as good as 1 and 2, but it's nothing to shake a stick at. It's.
Have you ever heard of Thai weed?
Thai weed, like a Thai stick?
Yeah.
Yes. I've smoked it.
Shut the fuck up. I just heard about this today.
I don't know what actually sets it apart from other weed, but my cousin got a big stick of it.
Well, it was weird. I was told that it was different. Someone told me that there's sativa, there's indica, then there's Thai.
Ooh.
And I was like, what a third? But everything I've looked up on the internet, which has been like a couple sites, has said it's been it's part of the sativa like strand or whatever. But I guess what really sets it apart is that it's like, a high potency weed that's like wrapped with hemp rope.
Oh.
That's what it is. So I guess it's like, so it's dense, more densely packed when it's growing.
So when the nug is on the branch, they will wrap it in a hemp rope?
Yeah. And then I looked on Urban Dictionary and it was like, it's not dipped with opium and stuff for those people who think it is. Which, yeah, I'm glad it's not. But I guess it's just hemp rope and like a hemp, just a hemp plant, but it's more densely packed. So, more dense, the more crystals, the more smoke.
What?
More good smoke you want.
I guess, but I don't think that really makes it a third type of bud. That just makes it another way of growing any bud.
I agree.
Or does it have to be... Well, okay, the odd thing is Thai sticks are just that. They are sticks that are that consist of many different nugs. And it's not like they just kind of glued these nugs together or fashioned them together somehow. They grew together in a big stick, probably about, from 8 inches to a foot long.
Yeah.
And it's the weirdest fucking thing to look at because you pick up your bud and it's usually just a bunch of nugs.
Wait, you said you fucking smoked some of this?
Yes, and I don't remember.
Did it look just like hemp, or did it look or did it look like a stick? Like
I said, it looked like a stick of marijuana.
It was like a thick nugular stick.
Yes, but it was comprised of many nugs, not just one long nug.
Oh.
So it's weird. It's like I don't see how a bud can grow that way. I haven't seen it grow that way, but I know they can do some weird shit with it.
Oh, I can tell you some weird shit they can do with hemp.
Oh,
did
yeah?
Did you know they can have hemp concrete or hemp bricks?
How so?
You can basically mix hemp and other materials to make substances that are equal or almost stronger than concrete and bricks. So they could be hemp building materials.
Wait, they're really stronger than the standard stuff?
Yeah. Like hemp-made products are stronger than steel.
Wait, really? Hang on.
Wait, no,
hang
no.
Yeah,
hold
I'm throwing
on.
That out there.
Steel like, might be stretching it a little
I'm
bit.
I'm going to...
There's a lot
I don't know we're going this way in the conversation. I would have brought my internet pages, but I don't have them with me.
I'd be interested to hear that because there's a lot of distinctions between strength.
Should we put this on the back burner maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe talk about it next week, how strong is...
See who's right about the steals.
All right, teaser for next week. But speaking of Bud, this is a story out of California. The tax board said recently that commercial sales of weed would generate an estimated $1.4 billion with a B dollars of revenue for the state.
Just for the state. And California is right in the shitter. I don't want to turn this into a political show because that's a big downer.
That is a big
after
downer.
You just started smoking.
I know. Whenever you think about that, it is a downer.
But we are really tanking. And, it's time to try to make up some of that money. Time to sell some weed.
Of course, my question is, what would that do to the medical facilities right now? Does that mean they become dispensaries without a required
medical license?
I'd imagine
they just become legal places. Because why not? Like, they're there anyway, and they have the way to do it. It's already built, basically.
Right.
But there's a bunch of red tape involved in that. Because you're shutting down one government facility to enact another.
What? Wait, what?
Because the medical marijuana places are government-run. Not government-run, but they're entangled in the government with, you know, restrictions, red tape, paperwork.
But you're saying, like, you've got legalized. I'm imagining all that red tape getting cut down. Like,
so right, yeah. I would imagine that the biggest difference is you just don't need the medical marijuana card anymore to get it.
You wouldn't need the card. Like, you can just go in and then they say, like, let me see your ID. And, like, you're not.
But I think the same places could still stay open. Yeah. First of all, they're established. They would already have a customer base. And let's face it, there's a lot. I mean, please. I don't need to tell you two. I don't need to tell this audience. There's a lot of people getting those medical marijuana cards who may or may not have a full-on medical condition that requires the use of marijuana.
That is bullshit.
I don't think there's this many damaged people.
I don't know
if
that's true.
I refuse to believe it.
I know a lot of fucked up people out there that need those cards.
Here's what I believe. I have a dream.
Oh, I have a dream. But let's hear your dream.
No, I don't have a dream. I mean, the truth is that, you know, these medical marijuana cards, they're the easiest way. Well, I mean, as at this point, probably the only way to get legal pot or, you know, quote unquote legal pot.
Yeah.
So there's people kind of stretching the truth, if you will, to get these cards. No big deal. I have no problem with it because I just wish they'd legalize the stuff. But I think the customer base is built in because a lot of people who would get the legal marijuana, a lot of the established customers have already done what they need to do to get the medical marijuana card.
Yeah, they've already kind of jumped through the hoops that they need to do it, really. It's just those few who haven't.
Right.
The legalization would really help.
So I don't think you'd see a lot of the existing dispensaries shutting down to make way for new ones that weren't medically based, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, actually, it might even bring the price down a little bit. Now you'd have more competition.
That'd be nice.
Wouldn't that be great?
I would love that. God, weed is so expensive. Hey, dealers, you hear me out there? Everybody's hurting right now. Cut your prices a bit.
It's time to have a fall sale, dude. Back to school.
Yeah, there you go. Two for the price of one.
There we go. JCPenney.
You could
selling
grow it.
Weed. Let's hope so, right?
You could grow it then, though, if it was legal, right?
You can grow at this point. Can't you, like, one plant or something?
But then do they tax that?
I'm sorry. Do I have the number wrong?
No, you can't. You can grow if you have a medical card.
Okay.
You're supposed to have a medical card.
No, I'm not saying that, like, everybody can.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, you know.
And then you're allotted a certain number of plants.
Well, it's weird, like, smoke shops are like the same thing. Like when you walk into one, what? Like, does anyone have any illusions what all that stuff's used for? You know, like I don't get why it's kind of allowed, but it's not allowed. Same with like these cards, how you can kind of go into those places. It's like subtly there already, and it's basically okay, like Frankie said, if you jump through the hoops.
Yeah, but a smoke shop's totally different. Smoke shop, there's nothing illegal going on there. If anything, it can be classified as glass artwork.
by the way, random comment, Charlie. This one isn't even great for the audience, but he has just informed me.
Oh?
He has just informed me that we have a high-profile guest on his way to the bakery as we speak.
Ooh. What?
Yes. A high-profile
guest.
Dude,
we better, like, dust something or clean the counters or something.
For Christ's sakes, clean it up in here.
I'm gonna go
send some of the wenches out to clean off these counters or
I'm
something.
I'm going
to
go clean some of those rat traps.
Please.
So wait a minute.
Send somebody else to do it. You got
big question. Who's on the way?
A high profile guest.
Famous.
A high profile guest. It's an HPG, baby.
That's all you can tell me?
That's all I can say. All
right. I hope we ring the bell when he comes.
Let's just say that he is a veteran of a show that may or may not have been the predecessor to one of our Open Fly Network shows.
I think Johnny Carson's coming.
How did you guess? I can't even believe it.
I can't believe it.
I cannot believe that you guessed it, man.
That is some weird, wild stuff. That is funny. I did not know that would be so funny.
Just a preview.
Lined up.
I got a question for you, John.
All right.
You usually have some unique lighter keeping strategies.
Ooh.
I don't know if you know about this in the world of weed, Frankie, because you're kind of an outsider looking in. Well, I don't mean that in a bad way. Oh. Like you're still relatively new. So like,
in my defense, I'm on the cutting edge of weed based podcasts.
No,
so, you know
he is. He's on the edge there, like with his grappling hook. But like, have you ever had to deal with lighter stealing? You know what that is?
I haven't.
Okay.
I
basically
have not.
In like groups of smoking sessions, there's usually one person provides the lighter and gets passed around. And then someone who's not the owner pockets it, usually because they're stoned and just don't remember.
I think it's a shady move just from hearing about it from you.
There's no malice intent.
It really is no malice intent. It really is. Like, I could say that, like, oh, yeah, those assholes stole my lighter if I hadn't done it. But I have. Like, totally, just because we all have lighters, and so we're used to just smoking, pocketing it.
Yeah. Weed smokers of the world, let me throw out a suggestion. Everybody who smokes weed, especially in a circle, keep one lighter in your pocket.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Just motherfucking do it, John.
Yeah. Okay.
John.
I have a weird story from my dad's past. He told me about a guy that he used to smoke with, and the guy would not let anyone hit the piece unless they had a lighter.
Huh.
Ah.
No. But you didn't let me finish my suggestion.
Oh.
Because it sounds like I was going that way. Uh-huh. I'm not.
Yeah.
One guy can still provide the lighter because what you do, you're passing a two-piece system over to the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? To pass one thing is really only half a gentleman.
you know? So you think
you
like
still need to pass a two-piece thing. Okay? So pass the lighter with whatever piece you're smoking with.
Or you,
at the end of the session, everybody check your pockets. If you have two lighters, you have one too many, sir. You have one too many.
I don't know if that would ever work. That's too organized for stoners.
Well,
I know. Like, that would be great. Like, and people do it. Like, they always seriously, like, I've learned to do that. John usually goes, he usually does the lighter check. Like, where's my lighter? Let me check and everything.
But back to your original question. How do you mark your stuff?
Me, I usually, like, I think I'm all smart. Like, I'm going to get not an orange one or, like, a blue one. I'm going to get one with a dragon on it. You know, something badass. Like,
are you kidding me? I would steal a dragon
lighter
in a second. Of course. In a second.
Yeah. That's exactly what happens. Some of them go just as quick. And
I'd never let a dragon lighter slip through my grasp.
God. They're badass.
I agree. That's a great way to do it. But sometimes those dragons come printed on a plastic just wrapping around the lighter that is easily peeled away, and then it becomes a white lighter.
A white lighter. Isn't there? What's that stigma about white lighters?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
What is it though? I know it's bullshit too. Whatever it is,
they're just bad luck. White lighters are supposed to be bad
luck. Caked in jizz.
Caked in jizz.
Yeah,
tell me
your lighters.
It's not just a stigma; it's a reality. If your friend has a white lighter, that's his way of coming out to you.
You just stop lighting your pubes as you're jacking off, Frankie. Jesus.
Look, man, I'm taking it even farther than David Carradine, if I may.
But the guy, like you said, you're the friend of your father's. He required that you have to have a lighter to hit the piece.
Yes.
That's kind of Nazi-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
on the same level. Nice.
Yeah, but at the same time, he must have been burned by a bunch of dragon lighters. You know, like he must have bought like sweet-ass ones and stuff.
See, I've known a couple people who do it different ways. One guy I know has it attached to a one of those like business card drawstrings.
The pencil things? For like construction workers.
Oh no, like one of those business ID things.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. It is a drawstring that would coil up on your waist. You just pull it out, swipe your card, and then just let it go, and it.
Christ construction light. Workers use that for pencils too, so they can mark some measurement and then just.
Yeah, there you go. But and then another guy marks with a Sharpie on the bottom of the lighter. He has different colored Sharpies. Uh-huh. Uses that.
Can he just like attach it to the piece itself? Maybe. If you're going to do the drawstring thing, just like attach it to the piece.
Attach it to the piece? The actual smoking device? My pipe?
You got it. Oh, yeah, you got it.
I don't know if that'd be a good idea.
I'm not saying to the burning end, man. I'm just saying tie it somewhere.
I don't want anyone letting go of that piece. That's a bit heavier than a lighter.
Yeah.
And from across the circle?
Look, all right, you guys just discount all my ideas just because I'm not in all your guys' circles.
We're teaching you, that's all.
You want to know why?
I'm not learning anything except that you guys are a couple of stubborn Sallys.
You really want to know why?
I'll admit that.
It's because I feel offended you haven't smoked a bowl with Axel and I.
That's not true.
Whoa.
Well, that's not true. Right,
that's not true.
That's not true at all.
Someone threw down a glove.
Okay, that's not true. He hasn't taken a hit on the show.
Not on the show. No, I have not.
That's true.
It's just how I feel, man. But no, here's how I do it. I mark my lighters by taking an X-Acto knife and carving designs into it.
You carve the
it.
Shit out of yours.
I do.
Yeah, every time I'm holding John's lighter, it like almost hurts.
Exactly. Yeah. It's uncomfortable. It's my lighter. Get
He's
the fuck out of your
some
hands.
Some type of like schlong or like some type of Indian design that like cuts your hands up. But you do look at it and go, John had access to this. And
that's
then
right.
I give it to him.
I do it at work when I have nothing else to do.
I thought about buying an encasing thing because the normal Bic lighters, they're like standard issue, but there's also like cases you can put in a Bic lighter, so it almost looks like a
that's
an expensive Zippo that you bought. And I thought about buying one of those for like $3 at a gas station, but I just knew that'd be $3 that would just be gone basically one day because it just
it's just the life of a lighter.
Have you ever reached the end of a lighter? How about that? I think I've reached the end of a lighter once, maybe. I don't think so.
Really?
It's usually gone.
You
by
know,
the time I just get a new one.
When I started doing my carving thing in the lighters, they would disappear, and then I'd smoke with my friends again, and I'd see them, and they'd be about halfway done, then they'd disappear again, and I'd come back, and I'd see them again, and they'd be about done, and I'd take it and finish it off.
Poof off.
Exactly. It's just a way to do it.
How about that?
Well, you look like you have something to say.
Huh?
Oh, he looks baffled by the idea that he should have something to say.
Well, I was going to ask basically, but it's like kind of a different thing.
Oh, we got guests. Now, this is not the HPG, though. I want to throw that out. Not to, you know, be a downer so quickly into their entrance, but this isn't the guest that I was talking about, but somebody has just stepped right into the bakery.
We just got clients in the bakery.
Yes.
They just walked in.
Patrons.
Let's see. We got Funkmaster E.
All right.
And I think Chrissy K.
They don't know that this is just a front for a podcast.
What?
Shoo them out.
Well,
we kick them right to the curb.
Dude, we get so few patrons, we can't shoo out people.
Everyone's welcome in the bakery.
I know. Everyone is welcome in the bakery.
And
in fact, I'm hoping they're going to play in our game later. But that's all I'm going to tease about that.
Well, right on. Did you hear about... Okay. Well, this is kind of weird. Way out of left field.
What?
Whoa, no.
But I think it's funny.
Okay.
In prison, in women's prison.
Where you've been, by the way.
Yes, right. Yes. Conjugal visits are awesome there.
Yes.
The action
is intense.
When a woman in maximum security prison is giving birth, they will shackle her to the bed for all of her labor.
Whoa.
Yeah, for everything. For like 24 hours, she'll be shackled to the bed.
During the whole birth?
Yes.
Wow, that's like pretty extreme.
Isn't that weird?
Is this a religious ritual, or why?
This is in New York. This story comes from New York.
That's weird, because I thought all women were shackled to the bed during birth. So this is just in prison?
Yes, this is just in prison. It's the guards say it's to for their security and whatnot, because she'll be flailing, and it's perfect opportunity to try to get away. You know, just crazy bitches in prison.
Crazy bitches. Look at these crazy bitches.
So... Wait, crazy bitches in prison? Shut the fuck up. I actually watched a show about crazy bitches in prison. And I know what to do if I was in lady prison. I would become, drum roll please, a loan shark.
A loan shark?
Thank you. Frankie knows. Yeah.
Why?
What happens is, like, you make no money in prison. So the only way to make money is to lend money to people. And then make them pay interest to get it back.
What if you don't have the force to back that up?
Well, I mean, this guy fights cheetahs, if I may.
See, that's why you're not going to make it in prison. You need to have the force to back it up. Well, that's the whole point. Like
you're already doubting yourself.
I'm not doubting me. I'm doubting him.
What if you don't have the force? Like, you need to say, like, I'm going to break your leg. Like, John, I'm going to give you $10, and you can go buy your little medals or whatever you need, but... And a month from now, you need to give me $20 or else. And that's all I got to say. And then I'm going to make $20 back. And then hopefully you don't call my bluff.
And what if I do? What are you going to do? If you let it slip once, they're going to be on you the rest of the time.
I mean, I agree. So that's why you can't let anything slip. Like, you got to be balls to the walls in female prison.
You're going to have to buy
shoes.
Is
your lip numb, actually?
I was drinking some beer and I was too excited. Sorry.
You're going to have to buy shivs, weapons.
buy shivs.
Oh, you're going to make shivs?
Of course. Why are you buying
shivs? Out of
a
toothbrush is, I hear, pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard about toilet paper, water, and toothpaste?
I've heard about those products. Yeah. I've used some.
You can find them at most supermarkets or drugstores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every once in a while in my bathroom.
Recently.
In fact, you can buy them in bulk at places like Costco or Sam's Club, you know. Smart and Final, smaller bulk, but, you know,
AMPM.
Bulk nonetheless. AMPM if you're in a fix, maybe a 7-Eleven.
Uh-huh.
If you've got to have it at 3 in the morning. Christ, you could even borrow some from your neighbors, I think, if you really got to have it.
Or fast food joints and steal them from...
What were those three ingredients again?
Toilet paper,
toothpaste,
and
water.
Those ingredients, you can create a shiv. You can create a shiv out of the toilet paper. You mix the water and toothpaste together, then soak the toilet paper and shape it.
Yeah.
And then you do this over time, and eventually when you let it dry, it becomes rock hard in the shape you formed it into.
Where are you going
to
hide that?
If you are listening from prison, you've just learned how to make a shiv.
Good luck.
Toilet paper, toothpaste, and the water you find in that steel toilet you have next to you.
For legal reasons, we have to say we do not condone shiv making. But yes, how I would make a shiv is I would take a food tray because they have handles on it. They have handles on the food tray. And then I would break off one of the handles and hopefully smuggle it in my sock or something back to my cell. And then I would just shape that handle like into a pointy, stabby thing. But it's not about making the shiv and like the weapons, because someone with a little, you know, grain of salt could probably make it. It's hiding it. The real issue.
Here's how I would survive prison. Since I can hold it real well.
You'd be money.
He already doesn't believe that he could be a loan shark.
I know. He's all like, what happens if I don't pack?
You're missing the point.
Okay. I digress.
Since I can hold it real well, I don't have to go piss or take a shit for a long time. I can hold it real well.
That's true. I can back him up on that.
I would make wine in the toilet and sell it to the inmates.
So you would create a winery.
Damn straight.
Very nice.
I like that.
It would generate income. It would it would make me a staple in the prison facility.
Just pee in the yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more you have to worry about shitting.
I would give a cup to the guy next door, not a cup of piss, but a cup of wine.
Of wine.
Just
of
to meet the neighbors? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. I'd mingle and...
That's a fucking good idea, Sean.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's, what do they call it? It's,
Fuck you.
It's like... Axel's jealous of my good ideas.
I know.
It's like crude wine or some bullshit, but it's made with any fruits and shit they can get their hands on. So it's just random crap. If I get a plum that day, that's what's going in there and fermenting.
Fruits and then toothpaste, toilet paper, and water, right?
That's right. That's how I'm surviving in prison.
Okay. Cool beans. Just squeeze out that shiv into your mouth. And
wait a minute. Well, Axel and I have given ours.
Yeah, we've set our shiv making.
How are you doing?
How would I make a shiv?
No, how would you survive in prison?
How would I survive?
Loan shark. Yeah, loan shark. What was yours again? Winery. I am shiv, so I don't know.
I think I'd be a trickster.
Trickster.
I'd just be a trickster.
How far do you think that'll take you?
Pretty far.
Before you burn all the bridges in there.
Well, here's the thing, all right? I would, first of all, be John's cellmate. So when he goes to meet the neighbors with his wine, all of a sudden I have friends to the right and the left of me.
Wine friends.
Besides that, I'm just going to be a trickster. Nice. I'm gonna trick people out of cigarettes.
Ooh.
I'm not going to say how because I don't want anybody in the audience listening to my tricks and then landing in the cell, you know, two cells to the right of me and not falling for them.
Let me tell you.
All of a sudden, I've got a toothpaste shiv in my side.
Oh, yeah. You already said toothpaste shiv. I forgot. Yeah.
Frankie has tricked me out of some grits, and they've been some pretty convincing tricks.
Right.
Yeah. I don't gamble with Frankie in poker. He's a bit savvy.
I play a lot of cards. I think I'd take up hearts. I saw it in Rounders. I think people in the joint play hearts a lot.
I see.
Which is surprising because I think you only see it in prison and nursing homes. So
I feel if I was magically transported 2,000 years ago and then for some reason put into prison for being a heretic, I feel I could escape. Because I feel prisons back in the day were just cruder and with my modern time, I think I could escape.
Well, huh. That's a very interesting
for your information.
Statement.
I got a question. I got a question for the bakery. Do you think piracy is stealing?
Well, all right.
Think on that.
We'll come back to that one. All right, we'll come back to that one after the break.
When
we come back, we're doing that.
Yeah, I got a lot to say about that. I don't know who this is, but it's a.
This is Everyday Jones.
Ooh.
Ooh. You're listening to the sounds of Everyday Jones.
Sounds like a movie theater. Enjoy your stay.
Please buy some soda.
For more shows like this, check out openflynetwork.com.
This song makes me think of the ocean, getting my feet on money, which I hate.
Wait, reminds you of what?
The ocean, like going to the beach.
It is kind of a Beach Boy song, I would agree.
Yeah. Well, anyway, back to what I was saying before about piracy. I asked you right before we went off, do you think it's stealing?
By definition, piracy is stealing.
But if you steal something, you can resell it. Like, if I steal a CD player, I can resell it for a profit. Versus if I download something, I'm not reselling it.
But you're arguing that reselling something qualifies that something as stealing, taking that something as stealing.
Mm-hmm.
What qualifies it as stealing is taking it, period. Whatever you do with it afterwards is trivial. Once you've taken it, you've stolen it. That's...
Jesus Christ.
Damn. Right?
Well, like, why is it so expensive? Like, I don't know if this article is, like, correct or not, but I was reading, like, the fines for, like...
I can't hear you.
I was reading the fines for, downloading songs.
Right.
For, yeah, John, listen, you fuckface. pardon me. But, like, it's. Do you think it's cruel and unusual to, like, fine someone for downloading 25 songs, $2 million, versus if you murder someone, it's, like, $25,000?
But if you murder someone, you go to jail.
Well, okay.
Well.
I would say I have an explanation for why that.
Still, it's a money thing. This is money right now, man. Jail, whatever. That's beyond the point.
You know why it's so much?
Debate? No.
Because there's big money in it. There's big money in copyrighted materials.
Wait, okay, stealing a CD, $2,500. That's the fine. Versus downloading 25 songs, $2
million. Okay. Well. Yeah. Well. Okay. Do you want to know why? My theory on why that is because there's. Big companies involved that own copyright-sensitive material. That is intellectual property that is signed away by the artist to the company, the producers.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get their hands on it, they do what they will. They distribute it and yada, yada, yada. And that turns into a money situation where they've got something invested in it. Whereas, what was the other murder, right?
Yeah, murder. 25,000. Look, you can start a dogfighting ring. And the fine is $50,000.
Okay.
Versus 25 songs, $2 million. It's just, they're basically making examples, I feel, of downloaders.
True.
It is, I don't know. Like I said, what's the point?
Well.
It pisses me off. That's all. That's all. Because like every time I download, I think about it, and it's like, what if they like choose me? I'm not saying I do that, but like if I do.
Well, that's a shame. So I've been hearing a lot of stuff in the bakery about joblessness and whatnot, and that's really a shame. But I have good news for those people that are out of work right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You got jobs for them, John?
Personally, no. I'm sorry. Don't get your hopes up for me.
Yeah, the bakery.
Come work in the bakery.
Barely afford us.
But a study conducted for the Robert Half International, whatever that is, some sort of company, I imagine, says that 53% of employers will be hiring full-time employees over the next 12 months. that that is likely.
Why this year?
Because they say the worst of the economy is over. They say the worst of the dip is over.
Who is they?
The same people that said it was bad when it was getting bad.
You know what Dr. K sent me today in a link? It was about this crazy scientist who was like, AI is going to happen in 4 months. Because he's trying to integrate biotechnology into like robotics. And he's all like thinking that a sentient AI will happen in 4 months. So Dr. K agrees with me then.
About AI?
About AI. I don't know. I think Frankie disagrees, but...
My whole theory is that AI, in order to be considered a true life form, would need some sort of biological reproduction. And if this new biotechnology that he's planning to introduce into the next generation of AI, or first generation, if you deem it so, can help solve that and fix that problem, then I am perfectly willing to agree that this form of AI is a life form.
If it can reproduce?
What?
If it can reproduce?
Yes.
Wow, that's quite the admission from you. I'm surprised. Like, you were all against it for a while.
Remember, we had this discussion at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at the robots and discussing. We even met, what's-his-face, the doctor from Star Trek Voyager. We met him and had the Robert Picardo. We had the conversation. Yeah, he is a dick. We were kind of drunk, but that's all right. I wanted him to sign my Swamp Thing mask, but he wouldn't. What an asshole. I was even willing to pay money. And some bitch.
Weren't you a predator for Halloween once?
No, I wish. I was making the mask. It was just kind of more of a... it was more of a side hobby.
You never got to it?
No, I didn't. It was a...
Oh, shit. Sweet D Danny C just entered the bakery.
What up, Danny?
Hey, what's up,
hey,
man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's been a long time.
It has. I'm kind of glad to be here for your recording of the show. Never seen it.
No, you're back from podcast retirement.
I know, right? It's been a while. It's been a few months. So.
Sweet. Well, I'm glad you made it.
So what's the topic for the day?
Well, I was actually going to ask John what his favorite Halloween costume was. Why is the bakery laughing? Did a joke happen over there?
What is my favorite Halloween costume?
Favorite Halloween costume.
That I've worn?
Well, because my favorite is I was Jim Lovell once, the famous astronaut in Apollo 13. That was my favorite Halloween costume.
All I've ever seen Sean do is zombies. That's the only one I've ever seen Sean do.
John? So yeah, he never does.
John, yeah.
And you know what? I do zombies a lot, and this year I'm planning on a Lincoln zombie.
Lincoln zombie.
I can grow out the beard, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go Lincoln zombie this year. I am. I'm going to hunt one down and destroy it.
Very cool.
Who was yours?
Who? Danny? What is Danny?
Oh, my favorite? Yeah. I gotta say, my favorite was...
A bit rusty, yeah.
Probably the 80s Rockstar one. That one, I went all out for that one.
That was good. Was that when you had the fake tattoos on your sleeves?
Yeah, fake tattoos, had the wig, had the leather pants.
That was tight. That was such a fun party.
Dude, I remember that was the worst fucking, like, costume I ever had was when I was Mustard.
Oh, yeah.
It was a pain in the ass. Like, it was a big...
You were, like, the biggest thing there.
Let me describe it for the patrons.
Hell.
Axel dressed up in a big one-piece foam Mustard. The thing was, like, 5 feet tall, including the tip.
And, like, 7 feet wide.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Not mobile. Not functional.
I don't know how you went to the bathroom in that, by the way.
Dude, it was
it
awful.
It didn't even happen.
It was just awful. It would just suck. No, what really sucked is because I got the Disneyland treatment of, like, he's a Mickey Mouse, so I can punch him and pull him and, like, interact with him and take pictures with him. And, like, I was an object instead of a person. And so it just really demeaned me. And after the end of the night, I was like, fuck Mustard. And I just hated being a...
See, what should have happened, you should have gotten pushed in the pool. I wonder what would have happened. Like, how much water you would have, like, absorbed in that huge foam sponge of a costume you had.
You would have drowned. There's no way you could have been mobile
like
80 enough.
Pounds of just like water in you.
Fuck you guys. Like at a party, I would have drowned. Thanks, guys. Like you're all would have
you
like
were that guy.
Like,
yeah.
You would have fell and drowned.
But you
like, we just watched you die.
So now we can laugh about it. It's all good.
All right, guys. Well, it was nice seeing you. I'm headed out. So
hey, have a bakery show. On your or have a bagel on your way out.
All right,
feel
thanks,
free
guys.
To grab one.
Take it easy.
Everyone, that was a Sweet D Danny C from the original Unrestrained show. It was called it was the Chris and Frankie show, but now it's Unrestrained Radio.
Yeah. He's a mailman now.
Danny?
Yeah.
Danny's a mailman now?
Well, that what the fuck? That's why he just came in on his route.
Biddling.
Very exciting times to have a podcast veteran like that in here, though.
It was.
Jesus Christ.
I know, I cried a little bit.
Did you? Did you weep?
Did do okay? Do any of you guys have Maytag fridges? Offhand, do you know what your fridge is?
No, I don't know offhand what my.
What are those mini fridges called? Mini fridge.
Yeah, that's the maker. Mini fridge. Yeah,
is mini fridge actually the maker? Oh, that'd be very surprising.
I think it's Minet fridge, but
Minet fridge.
Yeah, yeah.
It's French or something.
Yeah. This goes out to everybody listening. If you have a Maytag that was made between or was sold between September 2000 and May 2004, there's a recall out for it.
Is this a public service announcement?
Public service announcement. Like, you need to know this because...
Where is this topic going?
Well, I'll agree there with John that we need to inform the public of good info.
Everybody get up right now. Check your fridge.
Check your fridge.
Is it running? For which fridges again, John?
Maytag and... it is a freezer fridge side by side.
Oh, wow.
So if the freezer is on the bottom, then you're safe.
Wow, I hate that shit, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
There's not enough freezer space.
Yeah. Drawer, freezer, drawers are lame. Well, but anyway.
And here's why you should do it, because it's a fire hazard.
Why is that specific one a fire hazard?
I don't know. It just is.
Well, there you go, guys.
The fridge will catch on fire.
Yes.
Wow, the ice maker.
Watch yourself. Isn't that weird? Don't be token up next to that Maytag fridge, man. They'll go right up.
I thought you were promoting the prank calls for a second there, where you're like, let's make sure everyone... Is your fridge running? You better go check it.
You better go catch it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You know, a lot of progress has been made on the prank call front. We're really trying to get that up for you guys. It's it's something we're really looking forward to.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
We used to do it back in the day, and we were great.
Oh, God. I just can't wait to mess with people over the phone and just have no consequences.
And you know what? If we have, if we end up figuring out everything, we might even buy a Skype account and you guys might even be able to call in. We'll set up dates.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be a blast.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I wanted to tell you about Comic-Con real quick. I know it's how many months later? One month?
Yeah. Are you talking about the most recent one?
Yes, 2009.
Okay.
Do you know who Adam Savage is? Offhand?
Is he on Wonder Years? Wasn't that kid named Savage?
Different Savage, my brother.
Way off, Fred Savage.
Okay, how about Boy Meets World? Wasn't that a Savage?
A whole nother Savage altogether.
All right.
Then no, I don't know him.
Adam Savage is from the Mythbusters. He's the redheaded dude.
Is he the one that wears the beret?
No, that's
not
the beret.
Not the beret. Not the beret.
We went there, though.
Because that beret guy, I'm not a fan.
But he was at Comic-Con. Yeah, I remember seeing the beret.
Well.
The beret guy was at Comic-Con?
Yeah, he was in the autograph section.
Both of them were.
Is he promoting berets? Or?
No, that's just what I think that's what he wears. That's his signature.
He's on a beret 2009 tour.
See, but I hate that about him is that that's his signature. You can't just make something wildly stupid your signature. It's a beret.
Fashion is wildly stupid.
That's not fashion. The guy's just an idiot.
But he's balding. It's like a fashion choice.
I hope nobody
choice.
Listening to this or in the bakery is wearing a beret.
I digress.
Hairpiece?
Maybe. Well, a hairpiece is just to make yourself look respectable. A beret takes you in the other direction.
It has to be really good. And I'll admit, I'm fooled all the time.
But at least you're trying. Beret, you're not even trying. You've just given up on fashion.
That's art.
Listen,
beret
this guy
is
pulls-
artful.
Yeah, this guy pulls it off well. Yeah, what else do you need to say? He was Maxim's. He was Maxim's accidental fashion hero of the year, or the month, or some shit. Don't remember what, but I remember seeing that in one magazine.
I mean, I can't fight those accolades, but I am not a fan.
Back to his partner.
My mistake.
Back to his partner. Yeah, Adam Savage was at Comic-Con. What he did after his presentation, his autograph signings and whatnot, he dressed up like the Joker from. The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
he didn't put on the face paint. He did the the bank robbery mask, and then he just wandered around the crowd and took pictures with fans.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's very nice.
And he twittered from the event and everything.
Tweeted.
Is that the correct term?
I believe he twat from the
he twat.
All right. Somebody well, then, yeah, that's pretty much what he did. And it was cool. It makes me wonder what other...
it's pretty legit.
Yeah. What other stars are doing that?
All right.
Well, speaking of beret and, like, fashion choices,
oh, Christ.
I feel like busting out one of my famous games.
Oh, it's a game.
I saw that
look
in your
eye. I know how excited John and Frankie is. So I'm putting on my... thinking cap.
Oh, God damn it.
It's a beret.
God damn it.
I'm going to ask you guys and everyone in the bakery some questions, and we're just going to just see how smart you are. So.
Got to get this bakery in order.
Yeah,
yes, bakery. Patrons.
Everybody in the bakery.
Patrons. If you please, I'm going to, if you can get to your whiteboards, I'm going to ask everyone some questions.
You guys need to shut the fuck up.
Wow.
All right. Please put your thinking caps on. We're in a... The dubious school.
Oh, the bakery is lining up.
This is awesome. Yeah, they're all mope.
Look at this.
Look at that.
They come to the counter.
All right.
These are a lot of freeloaders.
So just so everybody knows, nobody knows the rules to this game. Nobody knows what's going on in this game except for Axel. And he's going to explain it to us all.
Okay, this is just... Here we go. Bakery. Tell me when the following items were invented and where.
All right, point to whoever you want to answer.
John. A boomerang. This is for everyone. There's only three things. So the boomerang. When do you think it was invented and where?
Okay.
Random comment. Charlie already has his answer in.
I want where and how many years ago. That's how I want it worded.
All right. Now. Here's what I'm... Okay. I'm guessing...
from my point of view, when I was thinking about it, that's... I don't know. That's an everyday item. But
do I have to think about this too, Axel?
I'm asking everyone who's playing, and I think you're playing. So
okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
All right. I'm going to say 400 years ago, Australia.
Okay, please.
I think that's a misconception.
I think you're
that it was
shit.
400 years ago. I think it was 800 years ago.
Oh, nice.
In southern Australia.
Okay.
Really? You can do that? You can bring in.
We're gonna have a bakery discussion on that, but let's move on.
I'm gonna
on.
Try to corner the market here on southern
let's
Australia.
Let's have Chris from Armor Strain Radio. I would love to hear his answer on this.
His answer is
fuck Axel.
Fuck Axel. Way to be unrestrained.
Debbie.
Bro.
Damn. Nice.
Holding true. All right.
Nice.
We came here to smite fools.
Who's up next? Anybody?
You win a free Dr. Pepper, by the way.
Okay. Grandmaster Funk E is
Australia.
Australia.
And it's 1700. Years ago.
1700 years ago. That's a.
No, I believe it's just 1700.
Oh, the
that's
year 1700.
That's a long
1700.
Time ago.
No, that's
300
years ago.
300 years ago. All right.
Oh, the year 700. Okay.
Now, would you prefer North Australia or South Australia? North Australia.
Okay, and then we have Australia 1800 by Chrissy K. You guys are all fucking way wrong. On the year.
Wait, hold on. Random comment Charlie still needs to throw it
then
out.
Never mind. Wait a minute. You guys are almost... Wait. What's random comments last
Random
answer?
Comment Charlie.
What's your answer?
Your mother's okay. Vagina last month.
Okay.
Well played. I believe that's it.
All right. Well, for your Australia fans, it was... Okay. 10,000 years ago, there was mention of a boomerang being used. So you guys were all way
Where?
Off still.
Where?
In Australia. They didn't say...
North or
southern
south?
Southern north or south. Okay. So the entire continent. But if we want to go technical, the first known use of a boomerang was 30,000 years ago.
30,000?
In Poland.
Oh.
In Poland?
The Polish.
So now, okay, let's put our thinking caps back on. I have
well, then I think
item.
The winner of that round then is Chris from Unrestrained Radio. Definitely fuck Axel for bringing this in.
No, yeah. Hang on. I think Axel's mom's vagina is closer to
No, but
Poland
you know what, though? Here's the problem.
Then,
that was close. Here's the problem. He said last is. Month. Random comment Charlie said last month, and that's very far away from 30,000 years ago.
All right.
I think if we could mix those two.
What about the cannon?
The cannon. Ooh, I got this one nailed. This is
when was the cannon invented and where?
This is China. I'm going to say
how many years ago? Please. We should get some
I need
some like music
come on.
Sometime.
God damn it, John.
I need 2000 years ago.
Actually, you say it, it happens.
2000 years ago, China.
Okay.
I am going to say Southern China.
I knew that was going to happen.
5,000 years ago.
All right. Chris from Unrestrained Radio. I would love to hear his answer. My butt.
My butt.
How long ago?
Yeah, dude.
How long ago? We need an answer, sir.
Mixmaster
22 years ago.
Christy K?
His butt since the 87.
Christy K says Germany 2,000 years ago. And then, please, Mr. E, I need your...
When was the cannon invented?
Mystery.
And where?
Gettysburg,
1800.
1800, Gettysburg.
Or 1800, okay.
All right, so who's closest?
Wait, hold on. We still need random comment, Charlie.
They're engaged.
They're engaged.
Right, no, he's coming back. He's coming back.
Oh, come on, fucker.
We got Jeopardy themes going.
Yeah.
Come on, random comment, Charlie.
All right. The answer is...
Your time's so close. All right.
No, I cut him short.
All right, yes. I must continue.
He wrote none.
The cannon was first known in history in China... 2,300 years ago.
Ha! Yeah! Look at that!
So North John or Southern. Some people said 2000s, but they weren't the right place, so I think John was the most correct.
You know where I know that from? Ninja Turtles 3.
Ninja Turtles 3.
Do you remember that? Do you remember when the Daimyo or whatever his name was buying cannons?
And the time travel scepter.
That's right.
It was because of weight, man. That's what made them fucking time travel.
Now,
and Mulan a bit.
Last one on the mental list. Last
All right, one. Is everybody ready?
Yeah, is everybody in the bakery ready?
We have
no more of this bullshit.
One more question. Line them up.
Right. All right.
The frisbee.
Ooh.
Oh.
Huh. All right. The frisbee. Okay. I'm going to say. Where did they invent pies? Sounds like a European thing. I'm going to say France 2,500 years ago.
God damn it, John. I was thinking France as well.
How many years ago?
2,500.
Okay, Frank. I also was thinking France. So I think just in an effort to be more correct, I'm going to say Southern France.
And?
2,600 years ago.
Ass.
Fuck. Now we got Chris from my favorite show, Unrestrained Radio.
Let's see. What is it? Turn it. I am unrestrained. I don't need to listen to you. What a
He's
cop.
Right. He's All right. right. He's unrestrained and he doesn't have to listen
Chrissy
to you.
Chrissy K, I'm seeing, has a Holland 1,500 years ago.
Okay.
Mr. E, Switzerland, 1,000 years ago.
And random comment Charlie still kind of held up here, but he's throwing it down.
Anything?
Well, the music's still playing, so I believe he still has time. I'd just like to say
bullshit.
That if it is Southern France, I own you, John.
If it is Southern France,
just in time, Philippines. Chris's uncle apparently is the time. We have.
Ooh, I like this one. This is a definite contender. I was thinking this one. The next one is USA
30 years by Lori, and I have to say Lori is the most correct. The frisbee was invented in USA, and the first known use of it was in 1957.
Back to the Future. Back to the Future 3.
Christ Almighty.
You guys are way
with
out.
The pie tins. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, in 1800s there was a frisbee like pie tin company, but the frisbee, as we all know and think of, 1957.
Is it because it's plastic?
Just frisbee as we know it.
Chris
plastic,
from Unrestrained Radio is once again pissed at the end of another game.
I don't know. It was something to make me trip out and think about it for a while.
Right. Hey, I didn't realize this, but when you were talking about AI earlier,
yeah.
Have you heard of the you've heard of Honda's robot Osimo, right?
The one that like moves around all sort of a human.
Yeah, he's fairly limber, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, actually, I mean, he has a body that can interact with the physical world somewhat.
Well, guess what Toyota did?
Gave him a V8.
No. They built their own robot, but now it runs. Their robot can run.
How fast?
Just the normal speed. Just an average human.
Holy shit, is that sprint?
It doesn't
stuff?
Sprint. It doesn't really sprint. It just kind of jogs, as a matter of fact. But it still, it transfers its weight on one foot, which is, you know, remarkable in the programming and all that shit. What they're doing right now. It's incredible.
Does it spring? Like on those, you know, when people lose their legs, they still get those little spring things that can like jump.
No, these are fully jointed appendages. They have feet. shins, legs, full legs. But yeah, I mean, I just thought that was interesting. Oh, excuse
me. Not too shabby, man.
Believe it or not, I'm fucking thirsty.
Are you thirsty?
Yeah.
Got a little cotton mouth going?
Yeah.
Well, he's drinking Red Stripe. That's good for him.
I was just going to say, like, beer is not, like, the thing to quench your thirst. Doesn't alcohol, like, makes you more thirsty, right? Like, you shouldn't drink it
if you're in the... Some people contend that it quenches your thirst, but...
if you're in the desert.
I say it's just fun to drink, but for me, it doesn't do the trick.
Really? Well, I agree. It doesn't quench the thirst. I always enjoy a good water with my beer because...
Oh, no.
Really? No, not at all?
No.
Why not?
What? No, you drink one thing at a time. No. You don't mix water and beer.
No, you can mix water with anything. It's universal.
It's not universal.
Bullshit.
It doesn't belong next to beer.
That's why ice comes in some of your alcoholic beverages. Because it's not universal. Beer, though.
Yeah.
You would never put ice in beer, and if you do,
absolutely,
smite you.
Absolutely correct. I would never do that.
Thank you, because they did that once to me at TGI Fridays.
Really?
They did. I call out TGI Fridays by name because I want the people who are in this bakery and fans of the bakery to know just what happened to me. I went there and they were having a special on Modelo's.
Okay.
Are you with me?
I'm there.
I'm so there.
What they did, and they did this in front of me, it's like watching one of your own children be killed. They took a Modelo, opened it, brought out a glass with ice in it, salted the rim, and then poured the Modelo into the glass with the ice and the salty rim.
Were you just like, what the fuck? Like immediately?
So what I did, because I figured the only way to really save that beer without having to touch either the ice or the salt, I got a straw and I drank that beer in like a minute with a straw.
Ingenuity.
And then asked for another one, please, with none of the bullshit that you decided to throw at me the first time.
That's probably got you drunker, though. Like, that's probably where they did it. Like, the ice beers get you like... wasted.
Well, now that you're good and angry, why don't you throw out some some
plugs? That's what we're doing.
as soon as you get all like pumped up,
that should be our goal for the end of the episode. Just get Frankie pissed and
just to get me
plugs.
All pumped up.
Yep,
get him pissed. I like that.
Plugs time, baby. All right, thank you for listening. Of course,
you're welcome, Dubious
Baker. You can find this show and all the old shows at thedubiousbakery.com. Make sure to become friends with the show at on Facebook. Search for Dubious Bakers.
That's right.
Please. And the email address, John, please.
Email us at thedubiousbakery@gmail.com. And you're certain to get a message to us. Or what you can do is just leave a comment on the website. It's in the upper right-hand corner above the Enterprise.
And make sure to take the new poll that's going to be up on Facebook.
Oh, yes, it's regarding our friend Frankie here.
Yes.
It's whether or not...
Should I smoke a bowl with these fine gentlemen?
I know my vote. But that's for next time.
We want to hear it from all the fans of the bakery.
I wonder what it's going to be.
All right. Have a good one, folks. See you next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening.